looked around. The side tables were still full. Pak saw men and women in working garb. "Does everyone eat here, my lady? Every meal?" She had thought that in rich houses the master and mistress and family ate alone. Oh, no. Some live in their own cottages, some prefer to eat somewhere else. But in winter, we keep a good fire here, and anyone is welcome. Evening meals in winter are usually a crowd. My sister from northern Leonia says it's like a barracks, but we like it. Estelle smiled. Pox heard the chime of harp strings from somewhere and looked around. Kalium's oldest son had brought a harp to the hall and now tuned it. The tables began to fall silent. When he was ready, he brought the harp to Eliam and bowed. "You first, young man," said Eliam. "I'll let my fingers warm to your music first." The boy began to play, a jigging dance tune that soon had hands slapping the tables. Someone knew the words, but had a flat voice. Others took up the tune with better grace. After that, the boy played a slow song like summer afternoons before haying time. Pox felt her eyelids sag, then a love song, which half the men sang along with. Then Cal took the harp. "Get the low pipe," he told the boy. "Garrus, do you still play?"
"I haven't blown a pipe for over a year," said Garrus.
"Well, you need the practice." Young Eliam carried in the long, polished tube of a low pipe and set it before Garrus. Cal plucked a note. Garrus took a breath and blew. The sonorous, mellow note Pox expected came out sour and cracked as a strangled goose. Everyone burst into a roar of laughter.
"God's teeth, Garrus, I said play it, not break it. I told you."
He tried again, producing a deep, hollow sound that rattled dishes.
"Now if I can find another note."
It began well, a rich sound above the other, but it faded and split as he held it. He stopped and looked up, rubbing his lip.
"I'll have a blister," he said, "but if you're willing to laugh over it, I'll try Cedars of the Valley."
"Humph, child's play," said Cal, fingering the harp strings. The silver dancing harp notes began to work a pattern on the slower, lower low pipe. Garrus had trouble. The notes broke again and again, or slid off key, but Pox could hear what the music was meant to be. Then Holly took the low pipe and Eliam the harp.
"For the paladin who has come on quest," said Eliam to the rest,
and the silence was absolute.
"You all know that much. I will tell you this much more. She is on quest to find Leonia's true king, and when she leaves us, we'll leave with all our goodwill and hope. And so for her, and for the quest, Holly and I will give you this, which we do not sing here often. Fok and the Oath of Gold."
Pox had never heard it sung, though she knew the story of Fok, bound by oath and chains together, held captive many years, then riding into the City of Despair to free his kindred. "Oath of blood is Liart's bane. Oath of death is for the slain. Oath of stone the rock folk swear. Oath of iron is Tyr's domain. Oath of silver liars dare. Oath of gold will yet remain." The refrain first, set to a different tune and sounding like part of something else. All of them sang it, but at the first verse, Eliam Holverick and his sons sang alone. "Far the shadows fall, far on the distant wall, under the weight of stone, the lost prince toils alone. Far they have gone away, bound by an oath to stay. The true prince